shepherd is the living God. I therefore nothing need. In pastures fair, near pleasant streams, you settle me to feed. You bring my wandering spirit back when I forsake your ways, and lead me for your mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. When I walk through the shades of death, your presence is my stay. A word of your supporting breath drives all my fears away. Your hand in sight of all my foes does still my table spread. My cup with blessings overflows. Your oil anoints my head.
The theme for our worship today, where the least is not the last. There is a passage in the Bible about an invitation to a wedding banquet. And today we are all invited to the Lord's table. Let us go back in time and read the parable in Luke 14, verses 7 through 14. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Here ends our scripture reading for this morning. My friends, at first glance, our reading of scripture may have left some with the impression that Jesus was actually teaching his followers the rules governing socially acceptable behavior. It sounds a little bit, if you hear it for the first time, like a lecture in etiquette. After all, there are certain things that people need to know when they attend a wedding or a luncheon or a dinner. Now, let's take an example from our times. For instance, it would be good etiquette to be polite and to wait in the receiving line for 10 minutes just to kiss the bride. However, if you then kiss the bride for 10 minutes, well, that would be real bad etiquette. No, that was obviously not what Jesus was teaching. Another reading will reveal that the parable had more to do with teaching us the difference between human arrogance and humility. I was thinking of another example in our times. You know, there is nowadays a rumor that a certain presidential candidate decided to take a polygraph test because he only wanted to find out what the lie detector fuss was all about. Truth is, he flunked the test right at the first sentence when he said, "In my humble opinion." Now, something of this is true in Scripture. I believe that people enjoyed listening to Jesus. And we must not always be sad-faced Christians and not appreciate Jesus' humor. If we do, we will miss a lot of the richness and the fullness of the teachings of Jesus. So now and then you have to imagine Jesus with a smile on his lips and a twinkle in his eye when he said some of the things that he actually did. I think one such an example is in our text for today. When you're invited to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor. Remember that if a guest more important than you arrived, the host of the wedding feast will come to you and ask you to move down. And that will be, most embarrassing to you, Jesus said. I will give you a better strategy. When you go to a wedding feast, I'll tell you what, sit down at the lowliest place in the room. And then, when the host sees you, he will invite you to move up. You know, I think that's where the humor came in. If that poor little unnoticed person sitting way down in the corner suddenly get the invitation, you can imagine he or she can then get a broad smile, stand up and make their way through the crowd, excuse me, and make your way all the way to the front. You can just see the picture. And Jesus said, you will be honored in front of all your friends. I think the folks sitting around hearing this for the first time just had a little smile and a little grin, because in their minds they could see how some people will be disgusted and how some will be mightily pleased. But then, after that, Jesus drives his point home. He says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's it. Now we understand what Jesus really had in mind. He was telling us that greatness has nothing to do with etiquette or how much honor we receive, but it has everything to do with the way that you and I are on the inside. Pride is something that we often despise in others, while at the same time we fail to observe it in ourselves. Long ago, when Johnny Carson introduced Howard Cosell on The Tonight Show, he said, well, here's Howard Cosell, a legend in his own mind. I think there's a little Cosell in each of us. Sometimes we are a legend, but only in our own minds and nowhere else. If you have anything that is special, remember, all our talents are God-given. Let us be humble. Someone said it so beautifully, God's gifts are not on shelves, one above the other, so that the taller you grow, the easier you reach them. No, they are on shelves, one below the other, so that by bending lower and lower, you finally reach God's best. Do not measure your greatness by what you've gained, but by what you give. And if you're still stuck with a lot of feeling of self-importance, here's something that we could do. Put your finger in a bowl of water, take it out, and stare at the hole. The person who is constantly puffing him or herself up, bragging about their achievements, showing off their trophies, buying bigger and better things to stay one step ahead of the Joneses, my friend, is at heart very insecure and often very fearful. Often such a person is so very afraid that he or she really does not measure up. The greater the emptiness on the inside, the greater the need to surround ourselves with a show of success on the outside. I believe that in the course of life, with all the realities that we have to live with, that someday we will all realize that it is just a sham. It is then that we realize true stature is not measured by how much we puff ourselves up. But Jesus says it is by being willing to humble ourselves. Oh, the beautiful teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The high-minded gets called down. Come and sit at my feet, my child. A place of honor, and your humbleness will be rewarded by my love. From Jesus' point of view, what we think about others matters less than how God sees us. It could be that when we see ourselves as high and mighty, that God sees us as shadowy and lowly. Can you imagine a truly humble person ever writing a book and then giving it the title, Humility and How I Obtained It? Impossible. Humility is an elusive virtue. Humility is impossible to manufacture. Humility can only emerge from the crucible of character. Humility is naively unaware. And they say that the moment the robe of humility becomes visible, too visible, the sash loosens, revealing nothing but buck-naked pride. Jesus was not observing and commenting on etiquette and guest behavior, not while he was dining with the Pharisees of his time. Jesus was revealing the mind of God to people of all ages. Looking back, coming to think of it, Jesus was talking about you and he was talking about me. How interesting, how touching, how very true. Those who are avoiding human glory and praise and consider themselves belonging in the humble seats are those who are most deserving of the highest honor, not by people, said Jesus, but by God. Brother and sister in Christ, friends, it is Lenten time again. During these days, we are following the way of the cross. It was at that time when Jesus was speaking, because he knew in his heart that he was about to set the classic example that would crown him with God's eternal favor and transform him for people of all ages, people like you and me, to be the Prince of Glory. See then the Prince of Glory. Where do you find them? Top of the head table? No, friend. He is there where we would least expect him. Beside the brokenhearted. Beside those who are mourning and weeping. Beside those who have nothing to bring but their faith, their love, and their hope to place it in the tender arms of God. Oh, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen.